The little model or the big machine? Big one, we don't know actually how it would have been driven. It is not clear whether it would be driven by a steam engine as a realization of his insight, or whether it would be driven by hand. Yes. But friction, interestingly, isn't the problem. Friction actually was thought to be a problem, but actually isn't. Yeah.
Of?
To drive it. Yes. I'll Yes. You mean the physical energy?
Yes.
I will come to that when I show you the difference engine two. We had exactly that problem, because when engineers looked at the plans, they said you won't be able to turn the handle. And we said, well, Babbage, you know, privately I thought Babbage couldn't have made a mistake like that. Of course he knew what he was doing. But out of respect for the engineers, what we did was we put a 4-to-1 reduction gear in. We made it put two gears in, so it's 4 times easier to turn, and it goes 4 times slower. And the engineers were right. You couldn't turn the handle, but not for the reason they thought. And I'll show you how it was done. But yes, the engineers, when they looked at the drawings, thought there are so many wheels, the friction that accumulates, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't accumulate. It doesn't drive the whole train. One of the problems with the mechanical calculator, the Pascaline, the Leibniz machine, all those, is that you couldn't get enough digits to get the carriage to work. Okay, Babbage solves that, and I'll show you. He's got 31 digits in his machine. His analytical engine's got 50 digits in his registers with double precision arithmetic, 100-digit precision. He solves the problem of how to drive the carriage. If you get 9999999, you add one, you've got to propagate the carry, and that requires physical force. He solves that. So you can extend it indefinitely. So there was skepticism, there was concern by the engineers that you couldn't turn the engine. It turned out they were right, but for completely different reasons. Okay, so we were going to talk about difference engine number two. So I explained here that he did mathematics, he designed difference engine one, he then designed the analytical engine, very demanding, very sophisticated. Then he came back and designed difference engine two. And we'll just look briefly at difference engine two, because that's the engine that was actually built. That's the plan of difference engine two, an elevation, and it's most evocative of its shape, of its ultimate shape. You can see it's driven by turning a handle. He knew that this thing could be turned by a handle. This we will come back to. That is an example of Babbage's mechanical notation, where he developed a symbolic language to make a formal description of these machines. And we'll speak about that, but I just point that out because that's part of how he used it. Now this section here is the printer and stereotyping apparatus. There's the handle. These are a set of cams. They are pieces of metal, circular with funny shapes, which orchestrate, which coordinate the internal function. So that's the microprogram, if you like. You turn the handle, which says calculate the next value. That's like giving an instruction, calculate the next value. And that set of cams automatically produces the lifting, turning, and pushing motions that automatically implement the internal algorithm. So numbers are represented here on a figure. So there's units, tens, hundreds, thousands, going all the way up, 31 digits. That's the seventh difference, sixth difference, fifth difference, and the result appears here. So as you turn the handle, each cycle of the engine adds the number from there to there to there to there to there to there. It doesn't do it in sequence. It does it in a phased way. It uses a technique called pipelining. It adds all the odd numbers to all the even columns, and all the even columns in first half cycle, all the evens to the odds. It's very sophisticated. You can extend this indefinitely, and the machine cycle won't increase in time. It will stay exactly the same. But that's an aside. So it adds these numbers, and the result appears here. And that result is automatically transferred, typeset automatically, printed and stereotyped on this device here. So that's a difference engine two. And we can look at the physical machine. So that was designed between 1847 and 1849. That machine was finished in 2002, and it took about 17 years. It was built over a period of 17 years. And that's the printing apparatus. There's the calculating apparatus with the control mechanism and apparatus below it. And that's an elevation which matches the... Now, you mentioned the question of physical, whether you could turn the handle. If we go back to Okay, if you look where that handle comes in, it comes onto the main shaft over there. Yes? Now, if we go through to the physical machine that we built, you can see that's where it should come out. It comes out there. Now, because of that, there's a 4-to-1 reduction gear between that and that. So it's 4 times easier to turn, and that was out of respect for the engineers. Now, it wasn't the friction that's the problem, because at no time are there more than 2 columns turning. It does not go all the way through. It turns 2 columns, and then the next side piece turns another 2 columns. Actually, strictly, all the odd columns, so it's 4 columns are turning at once. It never actually is driving all the way through, as we did with the 9999 adding one on a desktop calculator. Now, the reason it couldn't we couldn't turn it was not because of friction. The reason we couldn't turn it is because when I run the machine, you'll hear a slapping sound, go clunk, clunk, clunk. The slapping sound is what is digitizing the motion. It's a lock that's coming in between the gear teeth. Now, to drive that lock on the cam, you need a thing like a triangle, right? You couldn't drive the arm past the triangle. The pressure angle was too high, and it jammed. And that was the reason you couldn't turn the handle. Now, what we did was we looked for a solution. You can see on top there in Babbage's drawing, you can see there's one spring, but those are repeated all along. Now, that's a counterbalancing spring. What it's doing is it's suspending that shaft, and if you tap it, it'll just bob up and down. So it never actually lifts the whole weight. It just deflects it from the median position. Right? So we took that solution. We said, okay, Babbage has already solved that problem. We took that solution, and we made a device, which you can see here. That is not in the original plan. That is a spring, exactly like that one, which relieves the pressure on the pressure angle so that you can turn the handle. So the engineers were right, but not for the reason of friction. It was to do with the fact that the pressure angle was too steep. It stopped the thing turning. So that's an example of one of the modifications we had to make. All the modifications are reversible. You can take the handle off, you undo one screw, take the handle off, and you can attach it there and run it as Babbage intended. You can just take this off, unbolt it. Every modification was a reversible modification. That's a figure wheel. That represents one digit of a multi-digit number. So that's how figures, multi-digit figure, so it's units, tens, hundreds, thousands, going all the way up. That's the back of the engine with these beautiful helices. And now what I'll do is run the engine for you. And you can see it work. So this is 8,000 parts, weighs 5 tons. It's 11 foot long. Now that clanking sound, I mentioned we saw how Babbage tried to digitize the movement by using that roller inside the thing. Babbage used a lock, things he called locks, which are like sword blades, blades of a sword, which go between the figure wheels. That slapping sound you hear is the lock coming in and out to control, to digitize the So that's the printing mechanism there. You'll see there it goes, taking an impression for the hard copy and moving the tray to stereotype. Driven by falling weight. Each cycle that weight will drop down. Okay, that's the cam stack. That's the microprogram. That orchestrates all the motions. Right, that's... Right, you can see that. That's what... Right, that's what couldn't... You couldn't drive it past that one. And that spring underneath relieves that pressure, so you can do that. That's the lock coming in. Okay, that just goes back to orientate again. That's the front of the engine. You see the odd ones, every second one is moving, and then every odd one is moving all together. There we go. Right, that's the back of the engine. That's the carriage mechanism. I mentioned that. Just stop it there. I mentioned that Babbage had solved the problem of all the desktop calculators were limited in how many numbers they could have because of the problem of how do you propagate the carry. And Babbage solved the problem by what he calls successive carriage. Successive carry. So instead of trying to do all the carries in one go, what he does is do them incrementally. What you see those helices going up is it's looking at each decade in turn to see if the previous addition left a carriage and then executes the carriage. So as it goes up, it just does it. So it takes longer. It takes longer because you've got to do one at a time. In his analytical engine, he's got what is called the anticipating carriage mechanism, where he does all of them in one go because he needs time for multiplication. He can't waste time on addition. So he designed an anticipating carriage which allows the carriage to go all in one. But for this, he used successive carriage. And that beautiful motion, that helix, double helix motion, is... When you see that, I sometimes say, who cares whether it works? It's like a mechanical ballet. Yeah, it's, that video was taken in very early on. I don't know. I may have the only copy of it. If there is material on the web of the engine running, probably the American engine, which is identical. There are other videos which I'll show you, which I have, which anyone is welcome to.
Where is the American engine?
At Computer History Museum.
In Mountain View.
It's privately owned by Nathan Merwald, who funded it and funded the rest of this engine. And it's for his private collection. It's on loan to the Computer History Museum. And it's demonstrated there every day. They have a team of people who demonstrate it every day. Okay. You want to see it again? I'm very flattered. pleasure. Absolute pleasure. There are more videos coming, but this is the one of the whole machine.
How much oil does it consume every day?
I heard, I was smiling. Babbage makes no specification for oiling, none whatever. There's only one bearing, which is the bearing right there, showing now, at the bottom there. That cam stack is very, very heavy.
Yes.
And there's one bearing underneath where the whole weight is borne on, and you can't get access to it. Sealed for life bearing. So what we did was we modified the thing. We drilled a... Should I stop this and explain? No. Should I carry on speaking while you... We drilled a channel down so that you oil it from the top and the oil drips into the thing. For the rest of it, what we did was we oil it from the top and the oil drains down into trays at the bottom and we empty it. So it needs to be oiled about once every month if it's demonstrated every day. That's about it. But there are about 300 different points you have to oil. And there are three different kinds of oils, and there are two different kinds of grease.
So it's very specific.
Yes.
Like a car.
Yeah, absolutely. Teats. Yes, there's grease for certain oils, thin oils, thick oils. But we did that from our knowledge of metallurgy now. Babbage, they probably would have used animal fat or run it dry. They might have run it.
It was more dense, less.
Yes. Viscosity. Yes.
Generally, it's amazing because Babbage was essentially a mathematician.
Yes.
But the drawings you show a real engineer.
Yes. He didn't do them himself, but he sketched the drawings and instructed the draftsmen as to what to do. And had to describe it well enough so they understood what. You mean what do we use it for?
No, I had a sewing machine on this same principle with cams and.
Sewing machine.
Yeah. The what machine?
Sewing machine.
Sewing machine.
I had one.
Is that so? Yes. With the cams?
Yeah.
Yes. And I had two.
Right, of course, to orchestrate, to make the motions of the for the sewing head.
Yes, with different kind of sewing patterns. Yes.
Patterns.
Yes.
For something else,
yes.
I don't believe so. The use of cams was well known for automata. If we look at the earlier, the von Cassin's automata and so on, they all use this system, and it's startlingly similar. So that the idea of using that as a kind of microprogram for control, internal control, was quite well known. So I don't believe that this added anything new to other mechanisms. Because this was never built, so nobody in that age saw this machine. This was built recently. It was finished in 2002. to the original designs. okay. Effort in what sense? Yes. It was built over a period of 17 years. The actual physical construction, that means if you brought, as I mentioned to Isabel earlier, if you brought 8,000 parts and put them over there, and we had two engineers, to say it would take 2 years to physically construct. The rest of the time was politics, money, publicity, the things that make us tired, but also preparing the drawings. That was physical construction is about 2 years, but
the whole project from first step of design.
1986 to 2002, 17 years. There was serious technical work in preparing drawings. Babbage's drawings are completely detailed. They describe the engine, but they are not detailed enough to give to a machine shop to specify the materials, finish, tolerance, which didn't exist in those days. How accurately do you make the machine? What we did is we did measurements on difference engine 1, and we found if you gave Babbage's engineer a gear wheel, how precisely could you make another one? And the measurements found 1.5 thousandths of an inch. So we know they could make parts repeatable, make repeat parts 1.5 thousandths. So we made no part more precisely than 1.5 thousandths of an inch. And wherever we could, we made them with bigger tolerances, so that nobody could say to us, "You built the engine, but Babbage could not have." So it was very important that the curatorial integrity or authenticity of the project. If we're going to vindicate Babbage and say, not vindicate him, say, if he'd built it, would it have worked? The answer is emphatically yes. And the reason is we didn't use materials. We did composition analysis of the bronzes. Bronze was a kind of funny mix in those days. So we took parts from different engine one. We did spectral analysis on the metals, and we found the modern equivalent in bronze, which was PB2, it happens. We used all the original steels, the kinds of steel he could have used. There's only one part that is made of a tougher steel, and it's non-critical to the function. We thought that it was an impact tooth, and if it was impacted, it might break. It wasn't a problem, but that's the only instance in which we departed from what we knew Babbage himself could have done. So I mentioned that there was a printer. He did automatic stereotyping and printing. So what we're going to look at now is this area here. So the final result appears there. It gets transferred automatically to this apparatus here. And that apparatus is half the engine. It's much more complicated than the actual calculating section. There's a lot of repeatability. The calculating mechanism repeats over and over again. So there's a lot of similarity. So when you're building it, you learn, and then your learning curve reaches a plateau. But this, there's almost no repetition. It's very, very difficult. It took nearly 2 years to assemble and get this to work. It was very, very difficult, much more difficult than the... So what we're going to do is show you how that